Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From Universal City, California, this is a Brooklyn Nine-Nine podcast special, part two, presented by NBC. Featuring Dan Gore, Luke Del Tredici, Melissa Fumero, Mark Evan Jackson, and fan questions from you.
Welcome to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the podcast. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. I play Kevin. I tweeted a request for text, audio, or video questions from you, the fans, less than 24 hours ago. And hundreds have come in. I began counting how many I'd watched and stopped at 110. That's a real number. I counted to 110 and was nowhere close to being done. There were just too many, and they came from all over the planet. I watched your videos from, of course, the US, but New Zealand, Spain, Germany, Scotland, Nigeria, Peru, Ireland, Australia, England, France, and oh my God, Brazil. What is up, Brazil? Your love for this show is amazing, and I think we should talk about it. My guests today are executive producer, co-creator, and showrunner Dan Gore, executive producer Luke Del Tredici, and Melissa Fumero, who plays Amy Santiago. Melissa, Luke, and Dan, welcome. Cool, cool, cool. No doubt. No doubt. So there were themes in the questions submitted by the viewing audience. There are a lot of people wondering how many Cheddars we've had, whether Cheddar's a boy or a girl, what's it like to work with Cheddar? There's been a lot of questions in that regard.
Cheddar is on the group text.
Oh, gosh.
Very funny on
this. This is the worst day of my life. A lot of people asked about episode 601, how it would be that Raymond Holt would be on vacation, you know, licking his wounds and getting happy again without Kevin. Super good question.
Yeah.
Kevin had to work. It was an unplanned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin is not spontaneous.
Not a vacation. And Kevin had to work and said,
"It's your character. You should know the answer to this."
Yeah. What were you doing? What was your backstory?
I was wearing my rose shearing hat and I was shearing roses.
No, there was a breaking of the story where Kevin had actually sent him along because he knew that Jake and Amy.
Oh, yeah.
But we felt like that was insane.
And there were lots where we mentioned Kevin and then it just is like, we're so strapped for time always because we want to jam as much story.
The regret I have is that we didn't mention Cheddar.
Yeah. Because it does seem like, imagine
he would take Cheddar with him.
Like being away from Cheddar that long.
Yeah.
I would imagine this show is similar to The Good Place in the sense that you shoot for 5 days to make an episode of television and then you get in the edit and the show ideally is what, probably 21 minutes, 30 seconds kind of thing, final product. And your first cut you look at is probably 30 minutes, right?
We have cuts that are 30 minutes long, but I think our ideal is when we have a 25 minute cut.
But some stuff has to go, right?
Some stuff has to go.
You gotta make tough choices.
Yeah. It's always incredibly, well, you'd be surprised. There's some stuff that's very, very easy to get rid of. And then it becomes very difficult. And sadly, you know, this is always a writing note. It's the jokes that are unattached to story, even if they're great jokes, are the ones that we end up having to lose. And so I think a thing that our writers have learned how to do really well is to attach the jokes to the story so that you're not losing the funnier elements. Luke was leaning in as if to say something.
No.
Well, mission accomplished. No. We have a question from the internet. At Danny S. Cox asks,
"Hi, my name is Andreina, and this is my sister Daniela. We're from Peru. And our question is, If the Brooklyn Nine-Nine characters lived in the Good Place universe, what would their good place look like, and what would their bad place look like?
And also, we just wanted to say thank you for the amazing representation on this show, especially for the Latin American community.
Y si es que están ahí, Melissa y Stephanie, las amamos. Son lo máximo. Gracias.
Gracias.
I mean, Amy's is so obvious. Her good place would just every binder's color coordinated everywhere.
Right. She'd be just in like, a library, in yeah. the stationery store that is attached to a library somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And might her bad place be that room, the break room full of shreds that,
yes.
that yeah. was dug through? Mm-hmm. But this brings up a larger question, like what crossovers are possible? You've done one before, right?
Yes.
What? Do you remember it?
A wild success.
Hey, yes. Hey.
We did the New Girl crossover. It was very difficult to do, not because of it, just like it's very hard to collaborate with another writing staff that has their own episode and their own characters to service and their own larger plot lines to service. And we were doing it at a sort of delicate moment narratively because if you remember, it's the beginning of season 4, right? Mm-hmm. And Jake and Rosa have just gotten out of prison.
Right.
And like the episode that we had broken was like Jake experiencing some PTSD out of prison. Right. And then he has to run into like the New Girl characters and have a kind of funny adventure, but also deal with the reality that he was
equally challenging for them. And we went first. But it had to be, for some reason, it had to be in New York. And so their characters had to appear in our world first, which is a difficult way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it would be like our characters would spend most of our episode figuring out why they had to go to LA. Yeah. And then they would be in LA and then for the second half, you know, or some one of their, whatever.
So one of their characters is a cop. And then we were told, I believe, that wasn't to be part of the crossover.
Oh, wow.
Or at least it was like they wanted, maybe they...
I think I'm not sure we were told that.
I don't think we were told that. I think it was who they wanted Andy with, and they didn't want like Winston to be the one driving the crossover. They wanted right. it to be Jess driven.
Right.
If I'm
and by they, we're not talking about the New Girl writers or producers, but the network. Mm. It was, you know, a lot of these crossovers are sort of publicity stunts that are generated outside of the writer rooms.
Yeah.
In terms of what crossovers are possible,
yeah.
I mean,
does Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Yes or no, exist in the same universe as The Good Place and therefore Parks and Recreation?
No, oh. right? I mean, you play a character in both worlds that is not the same character.
That gets talked about a lot online.
Sean can have based his appearance on a random human who sure. could just happen to be Kevin, right?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Hmm.
Canon.
And so
decided.
Parks is hard to reconcile.
I mean, Andy played a character on Parks, mm-hmm. Park Ranger, a
right.
loud Park Ranger.
Yeah, I feel like we've had too many Parks people on our show to say that those two
right.
worlds
Nick
exist
Offerman
in the same.
Was your nemesis
mm-hmm.
on this show. And obviously played Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, that's what I know him from.
But maybe The Good Place, because it's...
Well, The Good Place involves people who aren't
different.
Alive.
We're trying to avoid spoilers, Dan. Come on, man.
There was... I mean, they just cut a very funny promo before we premiered a Law & Order crossover, an
SVU
right. crossover, and that I think I've seen people ask and would be great, but I think...
Oh, yeah.
We've also had that. Haven't we had people from SVU on our show?
We have a fake SVU in the world of
right.
our show,
which
oh, right. was Serve and Protect. We did an episode of that where there was a...
That's right.
A fake long-running New York set.
Was that Nathan Fillion?
Yes.
Yes.
But we could still do the crossover. I think they are famously...
It would be so funny to do that crossover, but I don't think in the way anyone anticipates it being.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a dark it's show.
A, mm-hmm. I was
Jake. It's a different tone.
Yeah. I have Jake at like the aftermath of a terrible sexual assault
God.
Being like, cool, 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 cool. It's just.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
it's
no.
so insane to me.
I remember that when I was on 30 Rock, they had tried very hard. I believe Tina wanted to do. A crossover with SVU and 30 Rock, where like she and Jane Krakowski were running in the park, having their story, then uncovered a body. Just at the beginning, yeah, just the cold open of both episodes was them, you know. But Dick Wolf would not do it.
Andre, I think, is in the Law and Order universe. Oh. I think he played somebody, I believe, because I think we had to give permission for him to be on a some Law & Order.
Didn't Law & Order and Homicide have some...
Munch, right?
That's co-mingling?
Yeah, did they have Munch?
Yeah, they have Munch, and then that also takes you back to what, like, St. Elsewhere or something is also... Right? There's a whole, like, TV universe tied together by Munch, by Detective Munch.
I feel like that was all a bad answer. I just want to say.
That's fine.
I feel like people want us to have a crossover, and I understand that urge, but it's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Especially to maintain the quality, I'm sure, you know, of both properties, both storylines, both sets of characters.
I just think that the most natural crossovers are for like one Chicago or something where they all come from one place and they are interconnected in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always going to feel forced any other way.
I got a lot of questions asking if you would ever shoot in Brooklyn.
We would love to.
The last shot of the opening credits were actually in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where we're all walking in the line. And
really just a monetary issue. It's something we talked for a long time about trying to make the last shot of season 5. There was a version of the wedding where everything had gone wrong. And Jake and Amy were on separate sides of the Brooklyn Bridge dealing with things, like there was a brownout or something in New York. Mm-hmm. And they came together and Holt had been ordained earlier and Holt officiated on the Brooklyn Bridge, in the center of the Brooklyn Bridge. And that was one version of how we would end things. And then we really liked what we ended up doing instead. But that image is like an image that I still love.
Wow. All last year, as soon as you told me that Jake and Amy were going to get married at the end of the season, I was like, oh, maybe we'll go to New York. Please let us go to New York to shoot the wedding.
We would love to go to New York. I would also love to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big Australian, or Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
For sure. Those fan bases are crazy.
Is the government of that country, whichever country wants us, to pay NBC Universal $2 to $3 million, and we are there.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, also, we've talked a lot. Terry has a lot of flashbacks to his time as an exchange student in Japan.
Yes.
And we thought it would be funny for Jake and Terry to go to Japan to work on a Yakuza case.
Yes.
And to actually go to Japan would be fantastic.
It's
for
possible.
You guys.
Well, you guys Jake did some Terry. Of that on Parks. You went to Paris and stuff, right?
Yeah. Still not sure how that happened.
Let's see. At Firewood Sparkler asks,
hello, Brooklyn 99 cast. Crew, whoever. I was just wondering about the more serious kind of issues-based episodes you do, if it's difficult to balance the seriousness of the episode with the humor that you provide as a sitcom.
That's a great question, because you guys, as you say, this is a joke factory, but also there's a ton of heart on this show.
Firewood Sparkler really does ask a great question.
For sure.
I think that a thing that has been consistent across Parks and this show and The Good Place is that we try to imbue the characters with some heart in addition to being funny. And that at times can be difficult because it means that there are certain types of comedy that I think we've made off limits to ourselves in terms of writing. Like, our characters are not really mean to one another a lot of the time. And that's not to say that in a given episode they can't make a mistake or be mean to one another, but in general they're not. And that just presents a challenge. But I mean, I think that is also one of the reasons that people respond to the show. I think they respond to the fact that the characters genuinely seem to love each other. Is that even what Firewood Sparkler asked about? They said heart and serious stuff.
Seriousness and
comedy.
And
humor. They didn't say heart.
Humor reasons.
Yeah, Firewood Sparkler, I biffed it. Thank you. Can I just answer Firewood Sparkler's question?
Only if you say the Twitter handle like 7 more times.
Okay, well, at Firewood Sparkler asked about comedy and also more serious stuff. And I think that in the first few seasons, we really spent most of our time just talking about the comedy. And when we would do something more serious, it was more of a personal story. And then we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do what became the episode Moo Moo, which was about racial profiling. And once we did that and felt good about how it turned out, we began to sort of mix in more of these serious issues. But it's important, and I think Firewood Sparkler would hopefully is what they're getting at, is that even in those serious episodes, we try to keep it funny.
For sure.
To feel like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It works so well. And I just watched somebody made, maybe it was the network, made an abridged clip of like Brooklyn Nine-Nine in 5 minutes or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And in it, Melissa, is you're holding the championship belt and you say, Amy Santiago, will you marry me? And you turn around. And like, that's one great example of this. And I'm having a memory of, we did an Emmys for Your Consideration panel at UCB a while back. Mm. And a woman in the front row, when it came time for the Q&A, asked Andy Samberg if he would look at her like he looks at you in character in moments like that.
Oh my God.
And he did, and she broke into tears.
Oh my God, no way!
Yeah, it was amazing.
How did nobody tell me that story?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
He does, he's got those doe eyes, mm-hmm. and yeah, turns it on, you're just... makes my job as an actor very easy.
It's such a lovely moment when you turn around confused with the belt and he's on his knee.
Like. Yeah, yeah. It was great. And it was very, you know, the evidence room is also a very actually like small room. Mm-hmm. It's always the least amount of crew in there mm-hmm. usually, but in this case, it was actually quite lovely because it was just felt like intimate and everybody... And scenes like that, you feel everyone's sort of like very keyed into it, into what is happening, which is all because we have an amazing crew and everyone is lovely. And so, yeah, it was like this nice little
and then
moment.
It was capped with that tender kiss.
Oh my God, Dan. So every time Dan writes a kiss for Amy, Jake and Amy, he'll put in the stage directions, they kiss tenderly, and it comes from the finale when we first had to kiss, and you were
season two.
And because we had the three different kisses, and mm-hmm. so he's like, I just want them all to be like really different. Like the first one is, you know, just to like save that moment, and so that the third, so that the last one is just like very tender, and it's very tender, and so that the second one is, you know, because of this and this, and so that, you know, we make sure that third one just feels really tender. And he just kept fucking saying tender, and Dandy and I were like, if you say tender one more fucking time, we are both going to punch you in the face. And ever since then, he tortures us with tender kisses.
And this has been you guys in five seasons, now six. This has been a great revolving door for some guest appearances. Who are some of your favorites? And or what are some gets that you'd love to have? Are there other people you're discussing or that would be pie in the sky dreams for guest stars?
Bruce Willis obviously would be so fantastic for Jake.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the writer's room pitch is that that he comes to the precinct and Jake is like in the bathroom and he stops by and Jake misses him. But I think we'd actually love to see them interact.
Yeah.
That would be amazing if
we
anyone knows.
We should just
knows
start
him.
Like a Twitter campaign.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Terry
does he
must,
know?
Terry knows him, right?
Terry must know him.
He's in one of those expenses.
But like, does Bruce Willis know how much love we give him on our show and Die Hard?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Oh my goodness. This just occurred to me. Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Nick Cage would also be great and also someone Jake deeply loves.
Oh my goodness.
As far as favorite guest stars we've had, I think about Tim Meadows in the prison ones as the cannibal. It made me laugh so much.
So much.
It was probably still too dark and probably alienated a lot of our like audience. But like, if it hadn't been Tim Meadows,
sure,
it would have just been like impossible for us to do that.
He's got character such a sweetness in that story to him, line. Right?
Yeah.
That he can deliver that.
I mean, I believe we drew the line that he ate children, but we drew the line that saying they were foster children, right? And it is, but he is so funny in those episodes.
And I'm not just saying this because you're here, but Jason Mantzoukas is one of our absolute favorites.
You're a monster.
I mean, he could be...
You're an absolute monster.
Just so wonderful. No, I mean, obviously...
Pimento's a crazy great character, right?
Great character.
Oh, God, oh my gosh. Yes.
Wonderful. But Kevin Costner is one of everyone's favorite characters to write and I'm sure act on stage with. It's
oh,
fantastic.
Thank you. I guess I would just offer that you should prove it by writing the... episode teased in season whatever, episode something, the Boyle-Linetti wedding, when it's suggested that Raymond and Kevin, who got married on the courthouse steps in an instant when it became legal, renew their vows. Have I mentioned that to you? Have we talked about this at all?
Hmm.
Have I brought this up?
This is the first time I've heard it. And I think if you pounded me with it constantly, every time I saw you, maybe eventually it would erode... No, I think it's something we've definitely talked about and it's something we'd love to show. I think the problem is just that they love each other. And so finding an obstacle and figuring out what the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody wants to mess with Kevin and Holt.
That's true. I love those guys.
Right?
I mean, as a fan, as a viewer.
Same.
At 911 Fumero asks,
hi, my name is Lauren, and as a Cuban American, I really do relate to Amy Santiago and her personality and everything basically about her. So I was wondering if we're going to see more about her nationally as being a Cuban American in the show, and because that would really be great for those of us who are Cuban Americans. It would give us a lot of representation.
Yes, indirectly. Yeah, it's always there. I mean, it's, you know, I think I love the way, and this was touched upon earlier, that these characters are written as just human beings. And, you know, like when Amy and Jake went on the cruise in the last scene, Jake's wearing a Guayabera shirt. And yeah, and I remember Andy being like, is this okay? And I was like, oh yeah, if you're married to a Cuban woman, she's definitely going to put you in that. So, and that's how my life is, you know, it's, it's there in my everyday life, but like in little moments and stuff. So I think, you know, perhaps if we meet more of Amy's family, there's,
yeah. I think it informs the character all the time.
Yeah.
And
there's always like little droplets,
part of who she is.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows? We would also be happy to go to Cuba. Should the government of Cuba be willing to give us $3 million? Wait, maybe we're not.
Would we? No.
No.
Probably
I mean,
not.
Provided they become a democracy, we should just.
Democracy.
Let's get rid of this little section here.
I think we've reached the end of our time together. Is there anything that you want to leave the fans with?
Luke, do you have anything to leave the fans with?
I mean,
obviously,
I'd like to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I feel like if I don't say that, then someone else will, and then I'll be left with nothing. No, but it's an obvious thank you to the fans. Like, for we can't say it enough for all the support that helped bring the show back and get us on NBC. And we just, at this taping, just recently, like, aired our first episode, had our highest ratings in years. And it's just like, it's like tremendous for everyone like working on the show to see this amount of like love and support. And it makes it so much easier to do the job, you know, and it makes us like so much more committed to doing it well, to see that like people care about this program so much.
That was really nice.
Yeah. I wish I'd said that. Can you edit Luke out of saying that? And then I'll just say the exact same thing.
Done.
Obviously, I want to say thank you. No, but for real, I do echo what Luke had to say. That feel like I was going to say that, and then he jumped in there and said it. But
to me.
I want to say thank you.
In a panic, you threw to me.
There was so much pressure on me. And I want to also thank, I want to thank Mark for, first of all, being excellent on the show.
The question wasn't what we had to say to Mark, though.
But I want to leave it with other people.
Let the man finish.
I'd like to leave it with America that I thanked Mark. And that I think he's fantastic at this and also at being Kevin Costner. And I'd like to thank Melissa for being so amazing on the show.
Thanks, Dan.
I'd like to thank Luke. I feel like I'm really getting out here as the thanker.
Mm, you are.
Does he think we won a Golden Globe just now?
He might. Just let him have it.
No, and Luke, obviously, for all the great
being
work
Luke.
He does. And et cetera.
I would also like to thank the fans and express my deep, deep, deep gratitude. Luke mentioned that we had the highest ratings for our first episode. We also trended worldwide that night, which is the international fans just like really showed up. And all the love on social media helps the show and also is just fun to watch and read and see what you guys think of the episodes. And we have the best fans. We love them. We stan our fans.
I don't get it.
I believe I said that correctly.
Well, I will echo that as well. Melissa, Luke, Dan, thank you so much for being with us. To the fan base of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, we love you. And you should run for president because we would vote for you.
Yeah.
This has been a Brooklyn Nine-Nine podcast special. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. Thank you for listening. Join us next time, if that exists.
This has been a Brooklyn Nine-Nine podcast special. Follow the show at NBC Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Hosted by Mark Evan Jackson. Produced by Grant Rutter. Edited by Trey Booty. Catch full episodes on NBC.com and the NBC app.